Track 2, Milepost 118. We're at Milepost 118. You clearly saw, as you traveled from Stanley, thousands of dead standing trees and multiple red-needled trees. The mountain pine beetle, a small insect no larger than a rice grain, has hit the Stanley Basin area very hard in the past several years. The insect bores through the bark, and with hundreds of insects infesting a tree, they eventually girdle and kill the tree. They kill the tree by eating the living tissue just under the bark, preventing the movement of nutrients and water between the tree crown and the roots. There's no easy or effective treatment for such a vast infestation. Local treatment with chemicals or pheromones is possible at limited small sites. We've entered the Challis National Forest, the gateway to the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness and the wild and scenic middle fork of the Salmon River. The wilderness area, named after Senator Frank Church, a popular Idaho senator who helped win its protection, encompasses more than 2 million acres. Along with adjacent wilderness areas to the north, the Gospel Hump and the Selway Bitterroot, there are nearly 4 million acres, or 6,000 square miles, of essentially roadless, pristine wilderness, the largest such reserve in the lower 48 states. A distinctive tree dominates these wilderness areas, called the lodgepole pine. The name refers to the straight trunk, which made it a popular tree for supporting Indian lodges and for constructing early settlers' fences and buildings. The lodgepole is well adapted to living at higher elevations and can be identified by its cornflake-like bark. The lodgepole's needles have a tough, waxy coating, which provides insulation from freezing winter weather. Rosin within the needles acts like antifreeze. The lodgepole's pointed crown and flexible limbs also help the tree endure heavy snowfall. In some years, more than 100 inches of snow might fall here. It's the only pine tree native to both Alaska and Mexico. These trees are known as conifers, or evergreens. They represent some of the oldest plants in existence today. Coniferous fossils date back some 350 million years, long before the advent of flowering plants. Instead of flowers, conifers have small, fleshy male cones to provide pollen, and woody female cones to bear seeds. Pollination is not carried out by insects or birds, but by the wind, which disperses the fertile dust throughout the forest. Conifers dominate western forests because they're superbly adapted to withstand extremes of heat and cold. These conifers don't have to grow a whole new set of leaves every year as deciduous trees do. Deciduous hardwoods, more common in eastern forests, require warm, wet summers. That's why we don't see many of them in the west. These western evergreens are adapted to take full advantage of the growing seasons by beginning growth through the process of photosynthesis whenever temperatures are warm enough and water is sufficient. Soon to our right, we'll pass a dirt road marked Boundary Creek. About 10 miles down this road is Bear Valley, a good area for viewing deer and elk, especially in the summer. About 20 miles down the road is Boundary Creek Campground and Launch Site, the put-in site for boats floating the middle fork of the Salmon River. Every year, thousands of people make the 100-mile float in mostly rubber rafts or kayaks. The trip takes between 5 and 8 days and is one of the premier excursions in the entire West. It offers great fishing, whitewater, and solitude as it passes through the Frank Church River of No Return Wilderness. Hot springs and ancient pictographs also highlight this river trip, which in 1968 was designated as one of the charter members of the National Wild and Scenic River System. Most excursions on the Middle Fork take place between June and August, when the runoff is strong. About half of those who float the river every year do so with commercial outfitters. These outfitters provide boats, experienced guides, and food. Others choose to run the river privately. To limit the impact of the rafters on the wild canyon, only 7 launches are allowed per day. About 10,000 people try to reserve these launches annually. Private boaters interested in this spectacular trip should go to the recreation.gov website and click on permits to check on availability and to apply. If you choose to float with a commercial outfitter, inquire in Stanley, Challis, Salmon, or Boise, or contact the Idaho Outfitters and Guide Association. The Boundary Creek Dagger Falls area is more than just a spot to launch a river trip. It's a major archaeological site where evidence of early inhabitants dates back 4,000 years. More recently, the falls were a major fishing site for Native Americans. The Shoshone people would spear the fish that congregated below the steep drop. To this day, you can witness 40-pound Chinook salmon climbing the falls during their annual pilgrimage upstream. Nearby creeks such as Banner, Marsh, and Cape Horn still support wild steelhead and salmon. These well-traveled fish migrate more than 900 miles from the Pacific Ocean. Typically, the young fish spend close to a year in small creeks here before embarking on their trip to the ocean in the spring. Once they reach the Pacific coast, they might swim as far as Alaska's Aleutian Islands before turning back. 3 or 4 years later, the same fish find their way upstream to the very creek where they began their journey. Here, the salmon spawn, and the female lays up to 10,000 eggs in the shallow water. Shortly after they spawn, the salmon die, and this remarkable journey is repeated by the next generation. The steelhead, a type of rainbow trout, and the Chinook salmon are what biologists call anadromous. That is, they accomplish the rare feat of surviving equally well in both salt and freshwater. To help sustain these increasingly rare populations, fishing is prohibited on these streams during the spawning season, which lasts from July through September. No fish stocking takes place here, so these streams remain a true barometer of the health of the entire Columbia River system. Turn off the recording now and turn it on again at milepost marker 102. That's milepost marker 102 and track 3.